Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Jesus is the cornerstone of our life. Amen. He is the foundation of life itself. But here's verse 12. This is the really interesting verse. It says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Wow. That is a big statement, is it not? It's very controversial. Because if you make this claim in today's culture, in the Western culture here, England, Australia, basically the Western world, or pretty much anywhere else, if you say something like this, what's the reaction in a pluralistic religious culture? Oh, you're a bigot. You can't say that. That's Islamophobic. When did we use phobia so much in the modern lay language? I think most people don't even know what phobia means. It's an irrational fear. But people say, when you say Jesus is the only way to salvation, there's only one way to heaven, there's only one way to eternal life, immediately there's pushback. Well, you can't say that you're the only right religion. You can't say that. In fact, there's anti-Christian sentiment. And I'll give you a couple examples. One in England where there was a street preacher who was convicted. He was brought into court, originally convicted of, I guess, stirring up the crowd. But the thing that they got him on was that he was saying that Jesus Christ was the only way. And so you know what they did? They fined him or they were going to give him jail time. Now, he appealed it and he won the appeal. But the judge was saying, basically, you can't say Jesus is the only way. That stirs up these other folks, and you're stirring people up. Can you believe that? And you think that's bad? And again, I don't mean to get political here, and I'm not, but even in our own government, senators get together and they confirm, the president appoints people, right, to cabinet positions, and then the Senate has to confirm these appointments, and so they vote. That's what they do. And there was this guy, Russell something or other, and I think it was something like a Office of Budget Management or something. And this is all over YouTube. But Bernie Sanders, the senator in, I believe it was Virginia, he asked this guy a question. He goes, wait a minute, so you're saying that you believe Jesus is the only way to salvation. What is that? And all other religions are condemned or basically... He's saying, like, in Islam, or if you're Islamic or if you're Jewish, then you stand condemned already. You don't see that as Islamophobic. Again, he uses that word. And he explained, no, you need to understand, as Christians, this is what we believe. We believe that Jesus is the only way. He's not one of many ways. He's the only way. This is core, right? Amen? This is core. And I'm assuming he's been around a long time. He's an old guy. He's been around a long time. But it was just amazing because I'm hearing him say, you can't say that. That's hateful. And that's, you know, so he says, I'm not going to vote for you. I was pretty sure that, you know, you couldn't vote or not vote for people based on their religion in the country. I'm pretty sure that's true, right? But you've got people up here, and he's not the only one. You got these guys who think that what we believe, what is core and central to our faith, is wrong. It's wrong to say that. And you're hateful and you're a bigot. That's the attitude. But I want to share with you today that this is a central theme of the Bible. And really, it's not about one religion over another. It really isn't. I mean, that's not the issue. You will often find people use an analogy, right? People say, well, all religions kind of lead to God. You've heard this, right? And what is the most used analogy that says all religions or all different beliefs are okay, and we're all going to kind of go to the same place. They use the elephant analogy. Have you heard this? Right? So you've got an elephant, and you have three blind men. Now, here's the elephant, and one of the blind men are feeling the trunk. I'm like going, what is it? The nose. Sorry. Just like going, what is that word? The trunk. Doesn't make any sense because the trunk of most of our cars is in the back. The elephant got a trunk on the front. I don't know what's up with that. Well, hey, Volkswagen, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's quick, quick. I'm preaching. No, I'm just kidding. But so you got an elephant. Anyways, let's get back to the illustration. So what? The blind man feels the trunk, right? And he's thinking, well, man, God is long and flexible. And then you have another blind man, he's feeling the leg. Like God is large and round, it's kind of like a tree trunk. That's what God is like. And then you have the third blind man, and he's back way in the back. And somebody was reaching out and he grabs the tail, and no, God is small and kind of wispy and a little furry there at the end. That's what God is like. And people say, well, see, that's what it's all about. You see, all these religions, they have certain views of God, but it's all the same God. And a lot of people use that. That's the worst analogy you could ever use to prove that point. Why? Well, for one thing, who in their right mind would lead three blind men to be in front of an elephant? They will be a stain in a minute if he sneezes. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. That's besides the point. Each one of them thinks they have an aspect of truth. But every religion has a certain element of truth. But its conclusion is wrong. How many religions in the world borrow a little bit of truth, but they have a whole bunch of lie? It's a Skinner truth that covers the lie. There's so many different religions that borrow from Scripture. Oh, you should love your neighbor. Oh, that's good. Jesus said that. Well, that's it. That's the whole thing. No, that's not the whole thing. That's one minor aspect. Well, it's a major. Love others, right? It's one aspect of the truth. But just because a religion has one aspect that is similar to the truth doesn't make it the truth. All three of those men are blind and they're wrong. That's a problem, is we are blind to our own sin. We are blind without the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. Here's the other thing. God is huge like that elephant, and he is of immense power. And we are playing God ourselves when we try to say that we know better. You don't need three blind men. You don't need an elephant. God wrote a book. It's been a bestseller for many years, right? We've got the Bible. God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So you have God of the universe, and people are struggling around trying to figure out who God is. He writes a book, uses 40 people over 40 different authors over 40 generations, brings it all together with one contiguous message, and he himself comes in the form of a man in Jesus Christ. So we have God shows up on earth as a man. Does miracles, writes a book, makes us super clear, but we muddy it all up. Yes? It's not that we don't understand. It's that some of us want to know God and others of us do not. Because if we get too close, we're not going to like what we see. We don't want to deal with what's going on the inside of us. See, no matter how sincere you may believe in something, it doesn't make it reality unless you're God. Are you God? Because if you're God, you can imagine something. God can speak something into existence, but you and I are not God. We cannot speak things into existence. We cannot imagine things into existence. Only God can do that, and he has brought us into existence. Our choice is simply either to acknowledge him or to put blinders on, to be like those blind people and go, no, I'm not going to acknowledge God. I don't believe he exists. Or I'm going to follow my own religion, or I'm going to follow my own belief, or I don't need the church, or whatever. But you're going to still be faced with the reality. God's not going anywhere because you do this, because you won't acknowledge truth. He won't. I think one of the biggest lies, So basically, here's the thing. Jesus is the only one who can save you. What do you have to be saved from? The biggest lie. The biggest lie is that we are good and loving and God would never send people to hell. That is the biggest lie that people believe today, right? Is how many times you heard, well, I believe people are basically good, really. Did you guys see this on YouTube or on the news? I think it was down in Florida. Some guy was drowning. And these punk kids were, and they were punks. That's the nicest thing I can say from the pulpit. Because I'd like to say some other things. But I was like, what the heck? So they're videoing him on their phones. And they're mocking him and making fun of him as he's drowning. Oh, no one's going to save you. And he drowns. Oh, I think he just died. Wow. And you're thinking, what kind of evil, right? But the reality is, the Bible says, we're not by nature good. See, we think we're good when we compare ourselves to somebody who we don't think is as good as us. But what if you compare yourself to Mother Teresa, right? Who pretty much gave her life completely away to take care of the poor in Calcutta. I remember Doc with a couple missionaries that spent some time with her. What are you going to do? Compare yourself to Billy Graham or whoever. We compared to God, no one is good. The Bible says this. It says Romans 3, 11 through 12. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Whoa. I thought we were generally, you know, pretty good people. Compared to what? Compared to God, no one's good. Now, we were creating God's image, so we occasionally can do good things, yes? And sometimes it's awesome when you look on Facebook or you see people share these wonderful things that were done. Wow, this great piece of humanity. Someone did something wonderful for somebody else. That shouldn't be a rarity. It shouldn't be like, wow, look at what this person did. That should be a regular thing every day. Shouldn't surprise us. But the reason that it surprises us is because by nature we are sinful people. And that's all of us. We're all sinful. We are all rebellious against God. But God has given us a chance through Jesus Christ and by what he has done on the cross for us to turn from that evil and to turn to good. So what's the translation here? We in big trouble. God, stuff about the rainbow. Rainbows in Genesis, right? God, the rainbow came after the flood. The flood, God flooded this earth and destroyed what people were on the earth because they sinned against him. There was only one righteous family. That's not just a story. That's history. God destroyed this world already. He already judged people for rebelling against him and doing what he didn't want them to do. In fact, they were worshiping false gods. They just didn't want anything to do with him. And he flooded the world. And then after the waters, it says assuaged, basically the waters went down and Noah and his family came out of the ark, then God put this rainbow up. And he said this. He said, I will never destroy the earth again in this way. I will never do this. And it's a promise of his mercy and his kindness and thousands and however long we've been on the earth since then, thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, God's mercy is that he hasn't wiped us out. Amen? Because we are in trouble, right? But man, he's a merciful God. How patient is he? You know, we create things and we're not so patient. Sometimes as parents, right? We've created a little one. And sometimes they test our patience. And we love them. We know they're learning, right? They're just learning and they're growing. But we have mercy, right? We have mercy with them. Sometimes we're like, right? But they test us. But we have mercy. God is a loving God. And he's, in any moment, if he wanted to, he could take us out. But he has mercy. He has grace. He has love. I think of the unending patience of God. When I realize that I'm a sinner, when I realize that I'm not worthy of God's love, but he loves me anyways. That makes me love him more. Because I'm not sticking chest to go, oh, you know, I'm such a lovable person. Oh God, you got to love me. I mean, look at me, right? But that's how many people live. When you're saying, I don't need Jesus, when you're saying, I don't need God in my life, you're saying, psh, I'm good, right? I don't need God. But the biggest lie is that we're good. The other part of that is that a loving God would never send people to hell, right? You've heard that, right? So that's like the new Christian thing, or that's supposed to be the new teaching thing. Hell doesn't exist. Jesus talked more about hell than any other subject in the New Testament. Hell is a place of darkness, a place of separation from God. When people continually reject him, when they reject their creator, they say, I don't want to be with you. And so he obliges them in this. I understand. I won't force you to come with me. But when this life is over, you're not going to like the place that you're going to go. And none of us has a good description of hell. It's a place of eternal darkness. It talks about fire, fires about judgment. But believe me, I don't think any of us wants to go there and be there. It's a different realm, separate from heaven. But we don't want to talk about that because what? We don't want to offend because we don't want people to feel uncomfortable. Well, guess what? Unless you feel your discomfort, you'll never know your need for Jesus Christ. We need to acknowledge that we're in trouble and we're living in a world that people are thinking, well, God doesn't judge. Read Revelations. Read chapter 20. It says that he throws the devil and the false prophets and all these people, and basically those that deceive the nations, he throws them into the lake of fire. Why? Because God is a just God. Now, why am I talking about that? Because Jesus alone has paid the debt of our sin. See, we take this for granted. Too often we give the answer before we ask the question. How might I be saved? People, oh, Jesus is great. But Jesus saves you, but saves you from what? There's a debt to be paid. If we sin against God, we're in debt to God. Now, how many of you guys are in debt? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you guys got a credit card? Right? How many of you guys got more than you should have on that credit card? And Mr. FICO is going, eh-eh. Credit karma? Your score has changed. Your score has changed. Your score, ooh, don't look at your score. Right? And so you know what debt is, right? It's that thing you're struggling to pay. You're struggling. You're trying, well, if I just change my ways, well, if I just, man, if I just eat rice and beans and that's all I eat, or if I just do this, maybe I can pay off the debt and I can pay it off. Oh, it's so huge. How are you ever going to get there? And somebody comes along and goes, yeah, just pays off your credit card, forgives your entire debt. You don't owe anything. Feel a little bit better, don't you? Like, oh, all right. Now I can go out and start loading it up again. No. No, don't do that. Woo, look, man, we got all this credit. Yeah. It's only like 27%. But there is a debt of sin that we owe. Yes? Because of our rebelliousness, because of our sin. But Jesus Christ came and became and paid that debt for us. See, the thing about Christianity, it's not about comparing one religion to another. Let me say this. The thing about Christianity isn't about a superiority of religions. Oh, our religious traditions are better than your religious traditions, or we're better than you. It's not about that. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with an innocent man who became guilty for all of us. Show me a religion that produced an innocent man, and then we'll talk. Jesus never sinned. The only one who could lay that claim. He was innocent, and yet he became guilty for us. Took our debt upon him. Nailed on the cross for us. Died, bled, was broken for us. So everything could be erased. Not so we can start loading it up again with more sin. Woo! Jesus, forgive all my sin. I'm going to go out and do some more. No! So we could turn from sin. Amen? So how many of you guys know that's a teaching out there? That's a false teaching, right? Jesus died so I can sin. That's not how it works. But John 14:6, Jesus said this. He said, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When Oprah says, Jesus never said that. Love you, sweetheart. You've done a lot of wonderful things, but you're wrong theologically, right? But she's not the only one. There's plenty of people that say, well, I don't think Jesus ever said that. No, right here. Oh, But see, people would open up the Bible and they find out that the Jesus that they have, that they believe in their own minds, is not the Jesus in Scripture. It's Plato Jesus. It's Jesus, you know, when you played with Plato, right? What'd you do? Do they still have Plato? Okay, because you guys are going like, what's that? What's that? Well, it was like this little clay product that sometimes tasted salty when you chewed on it and you were a little kid. That would explain my problems, but we formed Jesus into our image. The Bible says that God created us in his image. And we said, thank you, and we returned the favor. And we create him in our image. They go, well, your way is too hard. I like this Jesus. I like my little Plato Jesus. He's non-judgmental. He just don't talk about sin. Just love everybody. Just love everybody. A Jesus that is something that is not the Jesus of the Bible is not going to save you. Only the real Jesus can save you. And people say, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, Jesus is more cool, the God of the Old Testament. Excuse me. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. Jesus created you and me. Jesus wrote that whole book. That's his. He is God. That's the point. People miss that. There are no two different gods. Jesus is it. Super loving, but it's about justice. Now, Jesus was an innocent man, became guilty, satisfied that guilt, right? Basically, it's like if, I don't know, have you guys ever had to go to court? Don't raise your hand. But if you've ever had to go to court, and I've had to be in court a few times. That's another story for another time. But you go into court, and there's a judge, and you're guilty of whatever, and somebody comes in and goes, you know what? I'm going to do his jail time. I'm going to pay his fine. I'm going to do that. That's what Jesus did. And what does the justice do? What does the judge do? Justice has been satisfied. Done. Yeah, but no, you paid it. You're done. Jesus satisfies the justice of God. God has every right to destroy us. Jesus saved us from God's wrath and said, Father, they're worth saving. I love them. Put my seal upon them. I touch them. I love them. And the Father says, yes, they're all yours. And I accept what you've done, Son, on the cross. I believe in what you've done. And you can bring them all with you. And so when we go from this planet, we're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. As you know, Jesus is coming, but we might meet him before that. You know what I'm saying? I believe we're in the end times, but you might meet Jesus tomorrow. So I pray that you are ready. I pray that you listen to the words that I'm speaking today and you're not like, yeah, whatever. But that you really listen, because he's the only one that's going to get you there. The consequences are eternal. The Bible is clear. It's, you know, people think, well, what about the people all the way off in some continent and they've never heard about Jesus? You know what? It's not about people not necessarily hearing it or not having an opportunity. It's about the heart of rejecting God. It's rejecting him. Rejecting, when you hear the gospel, rejecting it. Even people that don't hear the gospel, I mean, there's a whole other thing in Romans chapter 2 about that. But the thing is that there are eternal consequences. We can say, well, you know, that's great, Pastor. I mean, I'm going to self-edit the sermon. I'll take a little bit of it, but I won't listen to the rest of it. Because I know some people do that. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying that that's a reality of the modern-day church is people come in. And again, you might be atheist. You may be a Gnostic, Christian, Buddhist. You might be coming from a different background. But if you come here, I'm going to teach you what the Bible says so you can make a decision for yourself, okay? Consequences are eternal. This is how it works. Say you're, anybody like hiking? You guys like hiking? You guys are, it's too hot to hike. I don't mean this afternoon, but you guys like hiking? I like it. Well, imagine you're hiking, and then you kind of get lost. Ever been lost? Like, I don't want to end up on the news. There was a helicopter today. Someone got lost in, you know, Jalapa Valley. Oh, my gosh. But I've been lost before, and there's a little panic that goes on. Heart kind of palpitates, and you're thinking, I knew I shouldn't have come out here alone. You know, you disobey all the public service announcements, right? I have a cell phone. It has no service. I'm out here alone. Well, it's a good thing that I learned how to kind of tell kind of where I was. You know, I was in the Boy Scouts, so I learned some basic stuff, but I was panicky for a little bit. But then I finally found, you know, I did everything. I did the whole sundial thing, checked everything. Okay, go this direction. I got myself out. But now imagine if you're in that forest and you get lost and you come upon a fork in the road. You guys know what a fork in the road is, right? There's two paths that you can go on. Now you look over to your left and here's a forest ranger. He's all neat and clean and tidy in his little forest ranger hat and all clean shaven and looking at you and smiling big. And the trail is all kept and nice. He said, you look like you're having a problem there. Yeah, I don't know what way to go to get out of the forest here. Oh, well, come this way. Right on through. This will lead you right out of the forest. And you go, wow, yeah, that looks like the way. But then there's another road. And you look over the other fork in the road, and you look, and there's a dead body. Maybe with the knife sticking out of it, I don't know. It's bad. It's real bad. You know, something bad happened there. Oh. And so you're thinking, now, how many guys would be like, I don't know, forest ranger, dead body. Forest ranger, dead body. How many guys would choose the path of the dead body then, right? You know what I'm saying? One path leads to life. The other path leads to death. The consequences are eternal.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.